The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And I think we certainly have a different program from what I usually offer, but I hope you will find it enjoyable. I belong to a group that calls itself the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County, which is nowhere near as awesome as it sounds. We're actually a casual bunch of guys who get together once a month and share music that we like. If somebody hosts, and at a home, either their own or one of the other guys' homes, and we bring stuff that we like and play it for each other and also enjoy our various audio systems. And I brought everybody in. There's seven of us, as I think I said, with some acoustic music as the theme today. And we'll see what everybody brought. I have no idea, and we'll introduce them in just a moment. I, as the host, get to choose the first piece. And it is music by Edward Elgar, and the introduction to this is that I'm dedicating it to the memory of John Shainoff, who was the longtime director of audio at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. He died quite unexpectedly, quite suddenly, on Sunday night, I believe, Monday morning. And in fact, his memorial service at the Krannert Center begins an hour from now at 1 o'clock. And those of us who knew John and worked with John will certainly miss him greatly, and it's been quite a shock. This music is by Elgar. The text, which I forgot to pull out here, is poetry by Alfred Lord Tennyson, and I'll let you listen to it. It's called There Is Sweet Music, sung by the Cambridge Singers, led by John Rutter. That was music by Edward Elgar called There Is Sweet Music, the poetry by Alfred Lord Tennyson from The Lotus Eaters. And choral music being the way choral music is, I'm well aware that one can't always understand the full text, so I'll give it to you because, as I said at the outset, I dedicated this piece to the memory of John Shainoff, longtime Krannert audio director who died earlier this week. There is sweet music here that softer falls than petals from blown roses on the grass, or night dews on still waters between walls of shadowy granite in a gleaming pass. Music that gentler on the spirit lies than tired eyelids upon tired eyes. Music that brings sweet sleep down from the blissful skies. Here are cool mosses deep, and through the moss the ivies creep, and in the stream the long-leaved flowers weep, and from the craggy ledge the poppy hangs in sleep. Performance by the Cambridge Singers, led by John Rutter. And my guests on Live and Local today are all members of the group that I'm not sure how it got the name, the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County. I have a feeling I know who came up with that. And there are seven of us who get together once a month at somebody's house or another, and somebody's always designated as the host, and it may actually be the person whose house we're at or not. And the host chooses a theme, and in this case, I'm the host here at WILL, and so the theme I chose was extremely loose, and that is simply acoustic music of any kind whatsoever. And generally, the host goes first and picks, you know, one, two, three, four pieces, however many pieces he's got. I've picked one, and since we have only about an hour, and normally we're together two and a half hours once a month, I will move to the next person. But first, let me introduce everybody. And as we were talking about memory earlier, and so let's see if I can remember everybody's last name, because I'm actually sure I forget Ed's, for example. So Ed
Olson.
Ed Olson, that's right. And Ralph Husby, and Morgan Usadell, and Mark Nicewander.
Correct.
Yes.
Very
and Fred Wilkinson. And Phil Bossairs.
That's it.
Did I pronounce it right?
You did very well.
All right. The founder of the feast, I guess, is Ralph Husby. And but first, you know, before we get to that, we always react to people's, you know, what everybody brings. So
that was beautiful sounding stuff.
It was.
I like vocal and choral kind of things, and that struck a chord with me.
Yeah, well, I'm curious. I doubt that anybody at the Krannert Center is actually listening, because they're probably all getting ready for John's memorial service, which is starting up very shortly. Do you guys know John?
Yes.
Yeah. You knew about that, right?
I liked him a lot. Yeah. Worked with him a little bit when he was recording Hobson back in the early 80s.
Yeah, well, still is.
Yeah.
And Symphonia, and he recorded many of the concerts, most of the concerts of the Prey Ensemble that you hear here, and lots of other things. We're a pretty widely versed group in music, and some of us tend to bring certain kinds of music, and some of us are especially wide-ranging. Morgan, I think, you never know what Morgan's going to bring. some kind or another.
What's so funny?
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why we like him.
Yeah. Ralph, how did, everybody came together because you knew them somehow or another, I guess, right?
I had this idea rattling around in my head for several years, actually, of having a group of guys that get together, you know, once a month or once every 2 weeks or whatever. And when my schedule loosened up a bit a few years back, I just would run into somebody and I would, you know, I'd maybe at Borders Bookstore or whatever, and I think, well, this is the person who would be interested in doing this, and so I just mention it in conversation, and everybody I mentioned it to actually signed on, and is still here.
I remember
there was a couple people that that stuck out, you know, that I picked up the phone and called, but usually it's just a matter of I'd run into somebody and say, oh yeah, that person would be. I think that person might be interested.
How long have we been doing this now?
I think about 3 years.
Wow, something like that. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing when you asked me, Ralph.
No, what was that?
I was sweating like mad on an elliptical machine at the campus recreation gym. And you engaged me in this conversation while I was going on about this. Of course, you, I guess, had already had your workout, so you were done sweating.
I guess.
I have no memory of that.
I remember that quite well. Well, we had a designated order here, but I don't remember who's next. Fred.
Yeah, and I had to restrain myself given your theme here, so this is about as acoustic as I get.
Fred usually brings the rock and roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to hear an Irish band called The Frames, led by a band named Glenn Hansard. Glenn is kind of a part-time actor as well. He was in the movie The Commitments years back, and much more recently in a movie called Once, about a pair of buskers. The Frames have been in Ireland since about 92. They're frequently voted the best live Irish band ahead of U2. So they're very popular at home, not too well known here. The song is called Song for Someone.
That was music selected for us here on Live and Local by a member of the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County. How did you come up with that name? It was your fault, wasn't it, Ralph?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to make it sound important.
Actually, I like to tell people that I'm a member of this group, and oh, really? Yeah, it's just seven guys.
Drinking beer.
that's right. The host generally provides the beer.
All right.
But not everybody partakes, and usually not much. So anyway, Fred Wilkinson, what was that piece?
That was The Frames, a song for someone from their album The Cost, released in 2007, I believe.
And you said something about the movie Once.
Yeah, it's an indie film, a couple years old maybe, about an Irish busker, you know, a street corner singer, and a Czechoslovakian busker female, and their little story together. Got a lot of generally critical acclaim, but some people didn't like it.
Well, I was kind of curious because I noticed when I was at the video store the other day on my BlackBerry, I keep a list of movies that somebody's recommended or another, and that was on there, but I didn't have any other note. I didn't remember what it was about or who gave me the suggestion.
Yeah, he was the lead singer in that, and he wrote the music to that movie, and the music was great, I thought. There's arguments about the artistic merits of the movie itself.
Well, maybe I'll rent it now and see, at least weigh in from one of them.
There you go.
Who's next on our pre-designated order? Mr. Husby, yes, sir.
Back to classical music. This is something by Edvard Grieg, played by Leif Ove Andsnes.
Excellently.
On
done.
Grieg's piano.
Oh, really?
At Grieg's villa outside Bergen. Lyric pieces, Opus 12, number 1.
Does this have one of those cutesy little names like the butterfly or anything? Or just the
number? Just called Arietta. Oh, well, I don't know what that means.
It means a little aria.
Oh, it makes sense.
Now that you've explained it.
There you go. On Live and Local. Finally, the end. He gave a bunch of false endings there, I guess. Music by Edvard Grieg, selected by Ralph Husby here on Live and Local. And we actually got two pieces in there, didn't we?
Number 2, The Waltz, 1866.
Leif Ove Andsnes. I'm trying to remember if I got to hear him live. And he was here for at the Krannert Center recital at some point, wasn't he? Anybody
yes,
know?
I was there. He played the Rack 3.
Yeah. What was he like?
Fabulous.
Is that why you picked this particular piece, or why did you pick this piece for today?
It reminds us of how something can be so simple and yet so beautiful. Mm. You know, it's just very beautiful, sentimental music.
And he's he's a Norwegian pianist, and people often say, well, you know, so-and-so is Norwegian, so they must have extra authority playing Norwegian music, right? I don't know if that always works. You know, an American conductor will do better with American music. Maybe, maybe not.
But. He does pretty well.
He does pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that our group does, as I said earlier on, as we said earlier on, is we normally have a chance to comment on people's audio systems, although that's never really the main point at all. But isn't it true that, don't you find that piano music can be one of the trickiest tests for an audio system?
Yeah.
Any idea why?
No. I mean, transients, of course, a tremendous transients with piano music.
Richness of harmonics, you know, it's an unusually harmonic instrument that requires very accurate timbre, I think, to be sound realistic. Mm-hmm. I like vocals myself if I'm really testing equipment. I always thought that the human ear was designed to hear the human voice, and that we're most sensitive to distortions there. Learning to judge equipment on instruments requires education. Hmm. But it doesn't require education with vocals.
But if you have a system that sounds great on male vocal, female vocal, piano, and violin,
yeah,
you're just about there.
Yeah.
And then I usually like throw in something big, whopping orchestral to see how it can deal with. Because I've actually, when I was looking for an amplifier, I know I eliminated a lot of them playing a particular orchestral recording, because some of the amplifiers just couldn't handle it. They didn't make any sense out of it. It wasn't that they could; it wasn't a power. Mm-hmm. It's that the music didn't work. It was completely
making it congested.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Morgan, are you next?
Yeah. I'm also going to play a solo piano piece, just by coincidence. And I'd also like to dedicate this to John Shainoff. Circumstances are similar to when this was recorded. It's a piece by Billy Strayhorn called Lotus Blossom. And Strayhorn was an extremely talented musician, composer who worked with Duke Ellington for 25 years, but mainly in a background situation. They worked together extremely closely. They co-composed. They called each other in the middle of the night with ideas, and this went on for years and years. And he chose to remain sort of in the background, similarly to the way I suppose John did, doing his job extremely well, but not being very well known, really. But in the course of all that time, he composed a lot of Ellington standards, like Chelsea Bridge, and even Ellington's theme song, Take the A-Train, was a Strayhorn composition. Anyway, he came down with cancer from too much smoking and drinking and in 67, and he was in the hospital. His last composition from the hospital was called Blood Count, which you may have heard. And in May of 67, he died, and Ellington at that time was on tour in Las Vegas, and he took the news very hard. He almost didn't make it back to the funeral. He couldn't bear to even think about it. And Ellington was depressed for about 3 months, and then to kind of come out of that, he and his record company decided to do a memorial album with the Ellington band and all Strayhorn compositions, which they did. I mean, a very successful album, and right at the end of the last recording in the studio, with the tape still running just by accident, Ellington started to noodle at the piano, and he was playing the tune Lotus Blossom, which was the song that apparently Strayhorn most liked to hear him play. And you can hear the musicians packing up and yacking it up in the background, getting ready to leave, and Ellington is noodling, and suddenly he gets really into it, and he gets extremely passionate, and the result is 4 minutes of the most heart-rending thing imaginable, I think. Clunkers and all, it is just really amazing, and that's it. That's what we're going to hear.
Lotus Blossom by Duke Ellington, and he's playing.
Ellington is playing, and Strayhorn wrote the piece. Yeah.
On Live and Local. Saying some stuff a little bit in the background here. Why don't you go ahead and share what you were just talking about?
Oh, in the New York Times obit for Lena Horne, she said the only man she ever loved was Billy Strayhorn.
Hmm. Yeah. And that was his
the only man she
piece.
she really loved was Billy Strayhorn.
Yeah, that was his piece called Lotus Blossom, played by Duke Ellington, just after or a few months after Morgan.
Three months after he died. Did this recording. Yeah.
Yeah, very affecting. What else are you supposed to say about that?
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah. All right.
It's an amazing, too, when you're talking about how the whole concept was just a recording engineer letting the tape roll. Yeah. You know, I mean, some of these most incredible pieces of art are accidents.
Yes, exactly.
Can you think of others offhand?
Yeah, the real famous one is when Elvis was visiting the Sun Studios, and and there, four of the most famous singers at that time just happened to be there, and they started fooling around, and the recording engineer ran into the back room and turned on the tape recorder and did the whole thing.
And who was that?
Carl Perkins,
Elvis,
Jerry Lee Lewis,
and.
Somebody else.
Folsom Blues,
Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I was going to say we need a call-in show for somebody to help us with the fourth one. Now, if we had computer access in the studio, we could get other people to send in other situations like that. Let's see, test our listeners' knowledge here. Well, we have a bunch of knowledgeable folks here from the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County. I love saying that. This is kind of fun. Here on Live and Local, we're just sharing some music, some acoustic music with you. Although some of us have stretched the bounds of acoustic music.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, support for WILL comes today from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods in the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio.
And we haven't had lunch yet.
We haven't had lunch, no. we should be serving that along with the beer, which we're not serving. Are you next, Ed?
I'm next. And we're scooting back to classical music. This is music from the first half of the 17th century. And it's Italian, and that marks a period that began with the end of the Renaissance, about 1600, and this music runs up to about 1650. And during that time, of course, Monteverdi was the primary motivator, primary composer in Italy, and he supervised music in Venice at St. Mark's Byzantine Cathedral. And many of the people who composed music during this half century were in one way or another connected with Monteverdi. The one we'll hear today is not exactly a household name, Biagio Marini. And he's playing what's called a sonata, although it's not a sonata in the normal everyday current sense of that term. And the instruments are also somewhat unfamiliar. They are the cornetto, the violin, the dulcian, which is a proto-bassoon, the cittarone, which is a large stringed instrument, and what's called a positive organ. And we were wondering whether there were any negative organs around.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
Anyway, this is a sort of a two-movement so-called sonata. The opening is very slow and I won't say funereal, but the second movement is a little bit faster.
And who's playing here?
It's the Musicalische Compagnie. And there's that one piece I just mentioned. Then I'll play about 25 seconds of another band, which lowers the register a little bit. So it's a little bit of contrast.
Okay.
Thank you.
And those were, I guess, two and a third selections or something like that from a disc of music by Biagio Marini. Isn't he the guy that started an Italian restaurant chain?
Biagio.
Maybe a descendant.
Sorry. I actually thought of that earlier and restrained myself at the time. Failed. And Ed Olson chose that music. Well, what was the piece again?
It was a sonata. It's called a sonata.
Very colorful title.
But not a modern sonata.
You were telling us while we were listening. Well, what listeners should know, first of all, this is live and local, although we are live here, but the music is all recorded, some of it a long time ago. But we're with this group that gets together once a month and plays music at different homes. And we have a habit of talking over the music, which, in fact, we are doing. But we're sparing you that.
They're missing the best part.
there's some interesting things that actually have just been said. Like, Ed, you were talking about the instrument called the cornetto, which we heard in that second cut. Sort of trumpet-sounding.
It's basically a slightly curved wooden tube with finger holes and a mouthpiece. And it's reputed to be the most difficult instrument to play in tune that's ever been invented.
And whoever that was did pretty well.
Yes.
Am I mistaken? Weren't those at some point along the line actually made out of some kind of bone?
I think the cornetto was covered with leather.
Or horn, like somebody's, an animal horn.
There's a Gems horn.
Maybe that's... Is that made out of a horn? Horn?
Yep.
A ram's horn or something?
Regular, actually, was a horn.
It was a horn, yeah, okay. As opposed to the French horn, which was never any
part of an animal.
Depends how you think a French horn plays.
God, let's not go there.
since I was one. Was one. Mark.
Yes.
You're on, I think, aren't you?
I guess I am. I wanted to choose something that I thought might appeal to WILL listeners. So I don't have a whole lot of classical music in my collection, but I chose a group by the name of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and they were active in the 1970s and heavily influenced by classical music, in addition to jazz and hard rock. And this particular piece that I'm going to play is from their album Pictures at an Exhibition, which is Mussorgsky's music that they've done. Now, mostly they did a lot of synthesizer
Keyboard-based,
exactly, music. And this particular piece is not from the Mussorgsky collection, nor does it include two of the three members of the group. This is strictly written, sung, and played on guitar by Greg Lake, the guitar player of the group. And I think he has a very much a choir boy voice, and the acoustic guitar work, I think, is just it's gorgeous. It's called The Sage.
Lake of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Correct.
So we're just hearing Lake.
That's it.
On Live and Local. Lake on Live and Local.
In our eyes.
Wow, you're right. He does have that kind of choir boy voice.
And yeah, it had to be cut off pretty abruptly there because the synthesizers start coming on very quickly after that. So.
And we don't want synthesizers lest we mess up our theme today.
Acoustic.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, acoustic is the theme of the hour, technically speaking. It's the members here of the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County. I'm Kevin Kelly, and I'm actually a member of this group of seven guys. We have a lot of fun once a month. We just had our meeting last night, in fact. What did we go, about 2.5 hours, I think? And I was quite late, and apparently little music had been played up to that point.
It was an unusual meeting.
Well, we always have some great music, and some of you guys just sort of boggle my mind with the knowledge you have of classic rock and lots of other kinds of things, jazz, and I'm sort of amazed by it.
It's an incredible variety. We have a lot of different kinds of experts here, I think.
Yeah, on different kinds of things, including Phil Bossairs, who gets to be last and not least.
Well,
what did you choose?
We're about to hear the Bill Evans Trio. This was, I believe, recorded in 1961. And the name of the song is Some Other Time. It's from the album Waltz for Debbie. What I really like about this album is how intimate it sounds. I mean, it really sort of puts you in the Village Vanguard where it was recorded. So I hope we can hear that on the recording. And you actually get to hear all of the activity going on in the club itself. I mean, there's you know, glasses and dishes clanging in the background and things like that. So it's really kind of neat.
If people are driving in their cars, are they going to be like distracted drivers?
I don't think it's that bad. but it is an extraordinarily intimate recording. Okay. So here it is.
Boy.
Seems fitting that should end with applause. After all of these selections, Phil Bossairs, remind us, who was that?
That was the Bill Evans Trio. Bill Evans on piano, Scott LaFaro on bass, Paul Motion on drums. And that was recorded in the early 60s.
And you said, who was it, Scott LaFaro?
Scott LaFaro was the bassist. And very sadly, as we were just discussing during the song, he was killed in a car accident about 10 days or so after this recording was made.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was very, very sad.
I should say, for those who have listened to this entire hour, we're not usually this subdued in our music selections. We did not discuss ahead of time, other than that, you know, we said it would be acoustic music. I said it would be acoustic music. And we just came in with what we came in with. And there's a couple of threads going through here that we hadn't discussed in advance. These are all members of the Audiophile Music Society of Champaign County. I thank everybody for coming in today.
Thanks for the invite.
Hope you enjoyed it as much or more than you thought you might.
We had a wonderful time, thanks.
Yeah, and we get together once a month. And it does need to be said that just in case anybody's dying to join the group, it's a closed group, only because we can't get any more than us in our respective living rooms, which is kind of a requirement.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed having you on, and I hope our listeners enjoyed sharing some of the music.
Thank you.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and coming up we have the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor in about a minute and a half. Support for our show comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. This Saturday's wine tasting from 2 to 6 p.m. features a lineup of wines all from France. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.